Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another episode about Fatima. This will be episode 52, and we have been dealing with the intervention of God in human history. We have gone about it in Egypt, and the intervention of Jesus, that is more than an intervention, it's more than an existential intervention, is an essential intervention, because Jesus became man, so and he never stopped being man. The second person of the Holy Trinity is still now a human being. So it was an essential and not just existential, because the second person of the Holy Trinity that was not human, was only divine, now it's both human and divine. And so that's the most important intervention. And in a way, so the intervention was heaven that intervened on earth, but then that earth went to heaven and intervened in the Holy Trinity. So that's what we call this marriage, God the Father married his Son to humanity. And marriages are forever, and so there is still the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is both human and divine. Now, coincidences or coincidences, good luck, bad luck, casual, everything we regard as providence. And so I'm going to quote you many of these providences that have happened in Fatima to prove the point that Fatima was an intervention in human history. So we prove the point in this way. First, the first one, is what I always call that it was the Pope that called for Fatima. When the World War First was at its height on May the 5th, 1917, Pope Benedict the 15th, don't confuse with Benedict the 16th, the one that is still alive, urged all Christians to plead for Mary's intercession to obtain the aspirated peace for this world gone mad. See, this was written in a letter to the bishops. Then only 8 days later, Mary appeared at Fatima with her plan for the world peace. 1 year later, in 1918, this same Pope, in a letter to the Portuguese bishops, to restore the diocese of Leiria, where Fatima is located, belongs to this diocese called Leiria, the town that is, although Fatima is now a town too, but the closest town was Leiria, and Leiria is also the diocese to which Fatima belongs, and because of the importance of Fatima, this Leiria is now called Leiria Fatima, the name of the diocese. This diocese had been closed down, has been taken away, And so the Pope restored the Diocese of Leiria, and he say that the seers, the events in Fatima, were in a way influenced his decision, influenced his decision to restore the Diocese of Leiria. So, and that is already in itself a coincidence or a providence, that he probably, Pope Benedict XV, understood that that the request that he has done to heaven was answered 8 days, only 8 days after. It was a request of him as the head of the church, but of all Christians, because he asked the bishops, and the bishops certainly in each diocese asked the faithful, and so it was all the faithful asking for Mary's intervention, for Mary's intercession, to obtain the aspirated peace for this world gone mad. And indeed, only 8 days after, Mary came and intervened. So there you were, you have already one proof that Fatima is an intervention. It was asked for, is an intervention of God in human history. Now, a second one, it's on the very day that Our Lady appeared in Fatima for the first time, on the 13th of May 1917, Father Eugenio Pacelli was ordained bishop, who was later elected pope under the name of Pius XII in 1939. So, This is the Pope of the Second World War. And the Second World War was provoked by Germany. And this Pope was the German nuncio, had been the German nuncio before. So 25 years later, when he celebrated his Silver Jubilee, he saw in this coincidence the secret designs of the Divine Providence. Now, there you are, also the Pope, Pius XII. After 25 years later, after his ordination, when he was celebrating the Silver Jubilee as bishop, he recognizes that it was providence that made him to be ordained bishop at the very same day and time that the events in Fatima were occurring. So 13th of May 1917. As a matter of fact, is one of the statues of the popes in Fatima. We have the statue of the Pope Paul VI, we have the one of John Paul II, and we have the one of Pius XII. So the Pius XII is there. His statue is made of marble, the others are made of bronze. Now, although she never met him in real life, Jacinta loved the Holy Father very dearly and prayed for him every day. In one of her private visions, she saw him praying very anxiously. Her love and desire to see him was so great that upon seeing so many people coming to Covadonga during and after the apparitions, with a sense of disappointment in her simplicity, she came to say, "So many people come here, but the Holy Father never comes here." So she was asked in her simplicity, "How come the Holy Father never comes here?" Her simplicity, because she knew the third secret. And when she knew, she was terrorized, both with the vision of hell and the vision of the Pope being killed. The vision of the Pope being killed haunted her. And so after that, she prayed always for the Pope and offer sacrifices. And so Jacinta is Christ crucified, so to say. I would look at her as a Christ crucified, because, as we said, Jacinta is more for sacrifices, for suffering. Well, women are stronger in suffering than male. And Francis was not much for suffering. He was more for praying. That's, we said already, that each of them specialized in both, in two different things, doing penance, that was Jacinta, and praying was Francisco. It is true that never went there during Jacinta's short lifetime. Pope never visited Fatima. But he did go during the cousins Lucia's Pope Paul VI celebrate the 50th anniversary of the apparitions, and met with Sister Lucia, who died on the 13th of February, another coincidence, 13th of February 2005, and a few months later, John Paul II also dies. So in the very same, I think it's April that he dies, so 2 months apart, or not even. And so Fatima is closed. So 5 years before she died, on the 30th of May, of the year 2000, Lucia attended the beatification of her cousins Francisco and Jacinta. The then Pope John Paul II was the one who beatified Francisco and Jacinta. Recalled on that day the words of Jacinta, and thanked her for her love and her many prayers and sacrifices for the Pope when he was not yet born. So the Pope John Paul II recognized somehow that he managed to come alive out of that shooting, that probably the prayers of Jacinta when he was not yet born. But Fatima is all about that. Fatima is all about things, Fatima is like a voyage in the future, that Fatima already sees things that are going to happen in the future, and somehow starts to work out the solution. And so the Pope was shot and he could have died, but Jacinta was already praying, because Jacinta knew that the Pope would be shot, but and nobody knew if he was going to die or not. But Jacinta already knew that. So she prays for him. She probably prays for him that he wouldn't die from that wound. And as a matter of fact, we see John Paul II, greeting her and thanking Jacinta in the day of her beatification, thanking Jacinta for her prayers. Well, you tell me, if he thanks Jacinta for her prayers when he was not yet born, and certainly not yet the Pope, but later on, when he became the Pope, and he realized that he was the Pope of Fatima, then he thanks Jacinta, that has devoted always her life in prayer, her short life in prayer, for the Holy Father. The way she said it, always, the Holy Father and the Holy Father. Now, so this is the second coincidence. The second coincidence, it's also important. But the most important, one of the most important, the next two are very much more important. The election of a Pope from the East. The election of a Pope from the East. This is a very important one. John Paul II. He was made Pope after John Paul I, the Patriarch of Venezia. Now, John Paul I, as we all know, he died in about 1 month. I think it was 33 days after being elected Pope. He died in his sleep. He died of probably heart attack. We never got to know. And there was no immediate Pope to substitute these, because the Italians, traditionally for so many years, the popes had been Italian. And this was the last one that was Italian, and there was no other Italian big name to substitute the Pope. And Karol Wojtyla, I remember, I was studying at that time, I remember that he was in a list, he was the last one of a big list, around 40 names, of a big list produced by the newspaper El País from Madrid. I saw that list, and I saw Karol Wojtyla in the last at that list. Imagine how the Holy Spirit is, that he being the last, the one less likely to succeed John Paul I, was indeed the one who succeeded. So let us pause for a moment and then continue about this election of John Paul II to substitute John Paul I. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. We were speaking about this election to the Cathedral of St. Peter of a Pope from the East, a Pope from beyond the Iron Curtain. This is the term of Winston Churchill. So, beyond the Iron Curtain, that was the Berlin Wall, is a Pope from Poland. And Poland is borders the Soviet Union, and Poland belongs, it's in the area of influence of the Soviet Union. So he's a Pope that comes from where religion is persecuted, where atheism, militant atheism, is really developing and doing their business, that is persecuting any believer of any religion. And that's something that Fatima already told in June that would happen, this Bolshevik revolution, that Russia would spread their ideas of militant atheism throughout the world. And so the Pope comes from a country that is under Russia, and so is a person that has experience of living under this regime. So it's a person that experienced in his flesh of being persecuted, of not being free to express his faith. And so he is the one that is chosen by our Blessed Mother to be the fourth shepherd, is the one that has seen the problem. It's like Moses. Moses is the one that saves the people from Egypt, but he had been an Egyptian. He had been there. He saw the suffering of the Hebrews. He saw it from the beginning. Yes, he himself was saved miraculously from the water. So he is the one that is equipped to do this work of salvation of the Jews from Egypt. So the same John Paul II, Karol Wojtyla, he suffered the militant atheism, and so he was able to deliver people from the militant atheism. Now we see this is the third election. In itself, it is too much of a coincidence. We have had so many Italians as popes, and how come that this comes from Poland, from East, from the Iron Curtain? A Pope, he could have come from any other country. How come it comes from Poland? So this is providence. Imagine if the Pope had come from Italy, if the Pope had come from France, from any other country in Europe, then it wouldn't happen what happened. He wouldn't take the problem by itself. So Mary, the Holy Spirit, made it possible that the Pope would be Polish. One, The Wounded Healer is a book by Henry Nouwen. It's the one that has been wounded can be a good healer. And John Paul II was wounded by communism, was wounded by militant atheism. So he would the one most indicated to fight against it. And now, so this is one big proof, the third that we have mentioned. Now, another proof of the intervention of Fatima in the world history of the 20th century is the attack on Pope John Paul II. Again, the attack, because as he was elected, he started working as an instrument to fight militant atheism. And so we remember that I told you that there was an organization very close in Covad area, very close to our seminary where I grew up, an Orthodox church, and it was called the Blue Army. This Orthodox church was called the Blue Army. And so the king of the Blue Army, or the general of the Blue Army, we could say he was John Paul II. He was the general of the Blue Army against the Red Army, that is the Soviet Union Army. And so the Soviet Union Army, the Red Army, was behind the killing of the king, of the Blue Army. So the attack on the Pope on the same day and the same hour that the Pope John Paul II was shot, 13th of May, it was at the same hour too as the events of Covaderia, that is 13th of May, is the biggest feast, all the 13s from May to October. But the main ones are the 13th of May and the 13th of October. The first apparition, the last apparition. Those are the main apparitions that are celebrating Fatima. And the director of the sanctuary of Fatima always asks a bishop from any other country to celebrate those main apparitions. Those main apparitions is always a bishop or a cardinal from somewhere, from another country. And so this was happening as the celebrations were happening, the pilgrimage, Pope was shot. The Pope was shot. It's not a secret to anyone that the bullet was fired by the Soviet Union. So the Red Army against the Blue Army. And why do I say the Pope is the general of the Blue Army? Because he shows to be, he was very devoted to Mary, and his coat of arms, it was bluish, blue. And it said, Totus tu, his motto is Totus tu, that means all yours, Mary, all yours, Mary. And a big M in the coat of arms of John Paul II, there is a big M of Maria, and Totus tuus, Maria. He was the instrumental Pope of Fatima that was to defeat the Red Army, the general of the Blue Army, to defeat the Red Army. And so the bullet, he was shot three times. This Ali Agca at the service of the Soviet Union, that's what we came to know. He prevailed. Our Lady of Fatima miraculously defeated the bullet. And in the Pope's opinion, it was a mother's hand that guided the bullet's path. It was a mother's hand that guided the bullet's path so that the bullet would not hit any major artery. And he was very close to one that did not hit any major artery and did not hit at any major organ. Of the three bullets fired at the Pope at close range, remember there are photographs, at close range, the three bullets that fired, it was so close, the range, that none of the bullets remain in the Pope's body. All got in and got out. One was just in a finger, between the fingers, but the main one is the third one that penetrated the Pope. And the bullet pierced the Pope's abdomen and the small and large intestines, both of them, graze the sacrum bone, the second last region of the spinal column, and exit through his back. So on this course, the bullet passed within the providential centimeters of the vital organs, narrowly missing the aorta, the big artery. If this artery was hit, it is unlikely that Carol Wojtyla would have survived the race from St. Peter's. We all have that image. He was raced from St. Peter's Square to the Agostino Gemelli University Hospital, where he arrived in shock from the severe blood loss, which was speedily taken care of with 3 liters blood transfusion and a surgery that lasted 5.5 hours. The surgery lasted 5.5 hours, and you know, all Christianity was praying during those hours because the news went wildfire, like a wildfire went all over. Even in Fatima, we all knew of it. And the people in Fatima already, the pilgrimage was not yet finished, and the news got there, and people start praying for the Pope. So it was, the Pope understood that it was the Blessed Virgin Mary, by the prayers of Jacinta, that diverted, because it's the doctors say it is a miracle, because the bullet doesn't go straight. It goes like this. It curves. It curves so to not to miss the main organs and the aorta. So it does. It's not a straight. It's not a straight bullet. It does curves, and that's only a miracle. Only a miracle. The general of the Blue Army cannot die. Cannot die. When he was elected Pope, I failed to say this, when he was elected Pope, he went to Poland 9 times. He came to Fatima 3 times, but to Poland he went 9 times. He was the one who initiated big travels, although other popes before him were traveling, like Pope Paul VI came to Fatima, to Philippines, and to the United Nations, I believe, and if not Paris. So those were the trips of Paul VI. Now, but this John Paul II traveled a lot, and he went to Poland 9 times. And each of these times, in the beginning, when he was elected Pope, he was asking a question at the times of General Jaruzelski, was the president of Poland at that time. And he was dropping the question, why did the Holy Spirit elect a Polish Pope? He would ask this question many times. He would leave it in the air. And I guess he himself, and not just him, many of us, would answer that question, well, because you were the general of the Blue Army to defeat the Red Army. And so, it was defeated not by an army that fights, but by the hand of God. And so it's amazing that without violence, Jaruzelski wanted to forbid Pope to come. But of course, forbidding the Pope to come to Poland, that was a big thing. That was a big issue. He never managed, because the people would revolt against them. And so all we know is that the Pope was start. There was a union called Solidarity that was making a little fuss. And that union was being helped by, morally and spiritually, by Pope John Paul II, but also financially was helped by Ronald Reagan, by the Americans. And so that is the Troya horse. The Solidarity Union is a Troya horse inside the Soviet Union, inside the Soviet Empire, is a Trojan horse. And little by little, this union has more and more and more power, and they, in the end, they defeated they defeated, and Poland got free, the first country that got free in the Iron Curtain. And after Poland, all the others got free. But so it all started there. And of course, the Soviet Union was seeing these. And they attempted to kill the general of the Blue Army, but they could not do it because our Blessed Mother diverted the bullet. The bullet that later on, as I will tell you in another episode, it ends up in the crown of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the one that she wears on the main pilgrimage, that is all the pilgrimages from the 13th of May to the 13th of October. You can see that bullet inside her crown. Let us stop for here and continue with the other proofs about how we can prove that Fatima was God's intervention in human history throughout the 20th century.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.